about the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life. That's what we're going to talk about today, by the way. You know, I've preached on this before, and I've thought, you know, maybe we should just preach this week and next week and the next week until we get it. I had these thoughts in my head that ran through. If Jesus lived a Spirit-filled life, we said that the first week, right? That in Luke chapter 4, Luke tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And Jesus came out of the wilderness, went into the across the Jordan, and was full of the Holy Spirit and began his ministry. If Jesus is that example for us of living a Spirit-filled life, fully human, needing the third person of the Trinity to empower him, to lead him, to guide him, then you and I must need the Holy Spirit also. And by the way, we do. If we're going to have any success, quote, in living the Christian life, it's only going to be lived in the presence and by the power of the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life. Okay, now I have another question for you. If Jesus never spoke in tongues, then it must not be essential to being Spirit-filled. You know, we've got this tension going on in the Christian community worldwide. Those that would say I'm charismatic and those that would say I'm not charismatic. Those that would say I'm full of the Spirit, and those that would say, well, I must not be because I don't speak in tongues. When I was a high school student, you know, just tell a war story. We talked about a little war stories. War story, I was working at a factory, and I was a janitor at a factory filling in for the guys who were taking vacation. And I was, you know, on vacation working on my vacation. But anyway, I'm working at the factory. Let's get it straight here. And a man approached me and started talking to me about my faith in Christ. And he got me to almost believe that I could not be a Christian because I did not express my faith through the speaking in tongues. So I couldn't be full of the Holy Spirit because I didn't have that second blessing, so to speak, and didn't speak in tongues. Well, he put me on this search, and it happened to me while I was in seminary also, that I went on this search, you know, could I really be Spirit-filled? Could I really be fully committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ and not have that expression of, you know, that sign gift of tongues that is so often taught and, I want to say, not scripturally taught. So if Jesus didn't speak in tongues and he was an example to us of living a Spirit-filled life, then that's not the essential requirement. But it is an essential requirement that each and every one of us live a Spirit-filled life, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit and we walk by the Holy Spirit. That is not an option for you. There are four imperatives we're going to talk about today. And the first one's out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it is imperative. It's not giving you an option. It's not giving you an out. It's not saying, you know, well, if you want this, it's saying, if you're going to live a life that is honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, that is truly a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, then you're going to live a life that is full of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in the context of that, it says, do not be drunk with wine or whiskey or any other beverage of your choice, beer, blah, blah, blah. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that later. And we're to walk by the Spirit. That's right there in Galatians chapter 5. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if my flesh isn't going to be in control of how I live my life, and the Spirit's going to be in control, then there's this moment-by-moment walk. And then the two others is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. My sin grieves the Holy Spirit, by the way. And do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. You know, so we sang about fire. So we're going to get into this a little bit. The Holy Spirit. Christ's character being formed in the life of every believer is the mission and work of the Holy Spirit. To make you like Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to transform your life that you would become like Jesus. We're talking about supernatural stuff. Because the Christian life, as I understand it, it is impossible for me to live like Jesus. Because I'm a sinner. In my flesh, I'm going to gratify, satisfy, I'm going to indulge. And if that isn't obvious. But in the Spirit, you're going to see things that only God can do in a person's life and through a person's life. The life of Christ being lived in us by the Holy Spirit. We said that earlier. We said that in weeks past, that we are a continuation of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said we will do even greater things. And the only way we're going to do the greater is through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not because you're so good looking or so smart or so whatever. But because of what God wants to do in changing your life radically, dramatically, and in transforming your life into the character of Jesus Christ. Galatians, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. Now, when I talk about, let's go back to the imperatives, because this is important, I think. I put a note in your notes. We are not commanded to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're not commanded to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're not commanded to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We're not commanded to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are things that are already accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer. But we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are commanded to walk by the Holy Spirit. You know, when we think about the life of Christ, remember Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21? He said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And that meant fruitful labor, he talked about. For me to die is gain. I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. We've talked about this before. Throw a party. Don't grieve, mourn, weep, wail. Not that you would. But throw a party because I'm home with, in heaven with the Lord. But as long as we're in these bodies, does it mean fruitful labor for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Formed is that outward expression of inner character. So our inner character being transformed into the likeness of Christ will find expression in our words and deeds and how we live our life. Paul also warns, he says, foolish Galatians, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? That's my testimony. When I became a Christian, I thought I had to live a really good life in order to be a really good Christian. You ever think like that? I needed to do this and do that and do this and do that and do it right and do it good and... And you know what? Would you believe I made a mess of it? Would you believe I couldn't do it? Would you believe I didn't have it within me? I didn't have the power. I didn't have the nature or character to do that. Would you believe there needed to be changes in my life that I couldn't do, but only God could do through His Spirit? And so we sometimes begin by faith, and let's pick on you know that denomination that preaches salvation and one more line of just as I am, and then leaves them on the doorstep as babies and doesn't help them to grow up. Has anybody ever been guilty of that? That we preach, put your faith in Jesus, become born again. You know, you need that new life. You need that gift of salvation. You need that gift of life. But then we don't grow. We don't get into the Word of God. We don't develop a life of prayer, a life of devotion, a life of worship. We don't develop a life of service. And we wonder why we live a powerless life, unable to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look like and act like the rest of the world. Because we are trying to perfect this life in the flesh. So to be filled, to surrender, to submit, to yield to the control of another. How hard is that? Anybody ever have any control issues in their life? Hey, I'm in charge here. Don't mess with me. I got the keys. I'm driving the car. You're the passenger. Keep quiet. We have control issues, trust me. And to be filled is to surrender, to submit, to give control to another. And who might that be other than the Lord Himself? Okay, in drunkenness, you guys all know about this, right? In drunkenness, it is the spirits of alcohol that are controlling. We've talked about this before. So we say things, we do things, you know, we're in this uninhibited state. And the few times that happened to me, I am happy. I am all powerful. I still remember this. This guy wanted to challenge me, and I said, I don't weigh 220 pounds. I was lighter then. I don't weigh 220 pounds for nothing, buddy. But anyway, you know, you just think that you're invincible because you got this false image and this false spirit controlling you. But it takes over, doesn't it? And you say things and you do things that you would not normally say or do. Well, imagine that same example being with the Holy Spirit. That you have given control, you have yielded, you have allowed someone else to be running and ruling your life. So that you are saying things and you are doing things. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I just told someone that I love Jesus. I can't believe I just shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't believe I had the privilege of just praying with someone as they came to faith in Jesus Christ and experienced that new life, that miracle of new life through faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? I didn't do a cotton-picking thing other than open my mouth and say things that God told me to say. And God did the rest of the work. I didn't do anything. It is in the aorist tense, point-like action, an event in time. Be filled. It is in the passive voice. It's the work of another in your life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not you doing anything. It's God doing everything. Be filled. Okay. Ephesians, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. It's just going to lead you to wild and unruly living, gratifying and satisfying the desires of your flesh, living a life that you are in control of, doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it, because it's your life and you're going to live it, rather than being filled with the Spirit. You're going to be addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart. You know, I'm going to pick on somebody here. Some people don't like to sing. And I think, you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing. I'm sorry. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be singing, holy, holy, holy. Did I ever tell you that story? We were, our friends here from Crossroads K Community Church in Rochelle, and we were singing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." I mean, over and over and over, and I thought, how many times are we going to sing "holy, holy, holy"? Then I looked it up in Revelation. They're singing it day and night. And I'm thinking, what am I complaining about? But at some point, I'm going to want to say "holy, holy, holy" and never stop saying it, because I'm in the presence of His holiness. Okay. Making melody in your heart. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So are you full of joy? Are you full of thanks? And are you ready to mutually submit to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, with Jesus Christ as our head? Wow. That is not possible without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. For us to be joyful, for us to be thankful for everything, even the hard stuff of life. And for us to surrender our lives and submit to one another. Let alone surrender and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as head, and the Word of God as the final authority in all of the things that we believe and practice. So to be filled. Okay. Where's that point in time in your life? Where is that event in your life where you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, when you were saved, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit generated new life in you. You were sealed for the day of redemption. All that stuff happened when you were saved. But when did you surrender to the fullness and the control of the Holy Spirit in your life? I pray for that. Because I realize in whatever I do in ministry, if I try to do it, I'm going to make a mess of it. But if God is doing it, all things are possible. Okay, now we're to walk and live by. This is the moment by moment, step by step. This is the need for help, dependence, empowerment, deliverance from the strongholds of Satan, and producing the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, the fruit of the character of Christ that is supernatural. So, I don't know if you remember, but one time I said this many times, actually. The Christian life is really not that difficult. It is one step at a time. And the first step is to listen. Are you listening to the Word of God? And are you listening to understand so that you can obey? Because the next step is obedience. If the Word of God says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, the next step, whew, fill me, Lord. If the Word of God is saying, walk by the Spirit, well, the next step is, are you with me, Lord? Are you empowering me? Are you there? I'm dependent on you. Are you helping me? I can't do this without you. I need you. Remember our first message on the Holy Spirit? He came to help us. And we need help. And so help me, Lord. Amen. Okay. Listen, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not getting drunk. I might drink a glass of wine or whatever, but I'm not getting drunk. You might say, I'm living a pretty good life. But by you saying, if you're saying, I'm living a pretty good life, who's doing that? I am. What's God doing in your life? What's God doing through your life? What is he teaching you? What is he telling you? Where is he guiding you? How is he helping you? What is God doing? Step by step. We live by faith, not by sight. I need help. Ephesians, Paul's praying for us, the church, that we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We need strengthen. We need help. The weapons of our warfare are not of flesh and blood, but the divine power to demolish strongholds. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning. That we get these, we didn't call them strongholds. We called them roots. I can't say some words, you know. You just have to forgive me. But it's either root or something. I don't know, but it's R-O-O-T. This root of bitterness. This stronghold in our life as a result of events of the past that we haven't been healed of, delivered of, forgiven of, and they still resurrect and cause trouble. I don't know, has anybody ever liked that? I mean, we almost started to tell war stories, and a few war stories were told about some of those traumatic events of life. I told a war story. When I was a young man, I went fishing in a canoe, and I caught a fish. And when I was trying to take that fish off the hook and then put it back in the water, I leaned over and I hit the water before the fish did. So ask me to go fishing in a canoe. No thanks. Now that was 40 years ago. Now that's just a simple example, but there's other stuff. There's sin. There's spiritual stuff. There's stuff in our lives that when it wells up, bubbles up, we get all emotional. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get fearful. Sometimes all that, we get those strongholds, and the Holy Spirit wants to dissolve those blood clots so that the blood of Jesus Christ can flow freely. That just came to me. The production of the Spirit's fruit. It is not possible for you in the flesh to love like Jesus. The first fruit, love. To have the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, only can come from God. The peace that passes all understanding. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh boy. That's a no-brainer. Nobody has patience like the Lord our God, who is slow to anger, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to faith in Jesus. Okay. Romans says it this way. Romans chapter 6 puts us in the position of being in Christ. We too may live a new life as we have put our faith in Christ. We are positioned into the family, into the body. Listen to Romans chapter 7. I'm unspiritual. What a wretch am I. Every time I try to do something good, it's sin right there living in me. Romans 7 deals with the struggle of sin in our fallen humanity. So though I may be positioned in Christ, I still have the struggle with sin. And Romans 8 answers the question. It's all about the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you don't belong to Christ. But His Spirit who lives in you is going to enable you and empower you to live that life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Corinthians was the church of catastrophe, the church of chaos, the church of division, the church of power struggles, the church that was the most gifted church in the whole Book of the Bible. And yet, Paul says to them, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Whew. Do we just leave people as infants without the Spirit of Christ transforming, renewing, demolishing strongholds, doing the work that only God can do in a person's life? We will not grow and mature in our faith. We will remain stunted, weak, unable, looking like the rest of the world, living like the rest of the world. So flesh, legalism. A lot of you have come out of performance-based religions. If I do a lot of good stuff, I'm going to get there. If I don't do a lot of good stuff, well, I'm not sure I'm going to get there. Performance-based. Look at what I have done. Rather than look what God has done in me. Look what God has done through us. This is the work of God. We can do a lot of good stuff, but we can't even begin to touch what God can do. I still remember people have said to me, God brought you here to save my husband. I wish I could save your husbands, trust me. Sorry, Lyle. Lyle's my brother, he's saved. But only God can save a husband, right? Only God can change some of our hard-hearted, hard-headed, stubborn, rebellious ways, right? That's the work of God. Sometimes we use our faith as a license to sin, right? Well, God is a forgiving God. God's grace is sufficient for all of our sins. I've said that. You've read that. You know that. That does not give you a license to continue in sin, does it? When I understand, when I really understand that it's my sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, I want to go and sin no more. Oh, I praise God for His amazing, all-sufficient, all-powerful grace. Because I know I'm going to keep sinning. But it doesn't give me a license to continue to do something that I know is wrong. And laid out there in the Word of God as being wrong and not a path that we as believers should be following. If I live in the flesh, there's going to be that lack and loss of fellowship, of growth, of witness, of fruit. All those things that we would enjoy in a spirit-filled life, but we will not enjoy in a life lived by the flesh. We're going to have a greater influence of the world and the devil. You've heard the illustration. Dave Wilkinson gave it. He said, it's out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, that there's the Spirit-filled Christian. And he understands and he can discern things that are spiritual. But then there's the carnal. Carnal means flesh, by the way. You know, I like chili con carne. The more flesh you put in my chili, the better I like it. And that's meat. He said there's that carnal Christian that we just read about back there. And then he said there's that unbelieving Christian. And the unbeliever, you know, they cannot discern things that are spiritual. They don't understand because, you know, they're outside of faith in Jesus Christ. But then that carnal, you know, he says you can't distinguish these two, the unbeliever from the believer, because they're full of flesh. And he says we need to be spiritual. We need to be full of the Spirit, not full of the flesh. And full of the flesh, Paul says we're still infants. So we need to be broken because our sin grieves. Our sin quenches, puts out the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing said to me, how should you preach? Just let God set you on fire and then you guys watch me burn. Well, let God set you on fire and let the world watch you burn. But are we first of all broken? And And are we surrendered to the control and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life? Now, the verses are there for you, and I want to encourage you to take this home and do a little Bible study and check it out for yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. May the God of peace sanctify you through and through, body, soul, and spirit. The Lord is faithful, and He will do it. The work of the Holy Spirit is to transform you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. As the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, bears witness to our human spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, that we are His children. Do you have that witness of the Holy Spirit to your human spirit in your life? Because without the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. So first and foremost, I ask people, do you have that witness? You know, do you have that spirit, that the Holy Spirit crying to your human spirit? And by that you cry, God, Abba, Daddy, Father. There's that intimate personal relationship. It's not just a religion. And then let's talk about our soul as mind, emotions, and will. You know, Romans 12, chapter 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what's going to change your thinking? What's going to change the way you view the world? What's going to change your mind other than the Word of God? Our minds need transformed. If we're filled with worldly ways and worldly thoughts and fleshly gratifications and desires, we need transformed in the way we think and the way we view our world. And there's only one thing that I know to do that, and that's the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the Spirit of God is going to teach us and do that transforming. The emotions, you know, I just love this verse. I have shared this verse with more people. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let all of your requests, all of your concerns, all of your worries, all of your being made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the work of God in your life. What are you anxious about? What are you worrying about? What are you afraid of? You know, is there any better deal in the planet than to take all of your worries and all of your anxieties and in exchange for that get the peace of God? Oh my goodness. I don't have to see a big sign at Walmart saying, you know, 20% off. No, when I get the peace of God that passes all understanding and God takes all of my worries and cares, I mean, there's nothing better. And I could tell you stories about that too. How about the will? Chapter 12 of Romans. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you will be able to determine God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. We want to listen. We want to listen carefully to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God, His role and function is to teach us, to guide us, direct us, and then we take that step of obedience. And then we listen, and the Holy Spirit's going to teach us and guide us, and we take another step of obedience by faith. When we stop listening, we stop obeying. When we stop obeying, we've grieved, we've quenched, we've put out the Spirit's fire. And you're on your own, buddy. Good luck. And I don't believe in luck. But it's not going to be pretty. And you know, I thought, you know, old Satan, he is just this clever. He would let us live a successful life according to the standards of our world. He would let us be a good person according to the standards of our world. He would let us think that, hey, look what I've done. See what I've done. Let me show you my resume. Didn't Paul do that to us? Let me show you my estate, all that I've accomplished, all that I've accumulated, all that I possess. But if I don't have the Spirit of Christ living in me. And then it's Romans 6. Present your bodies as instruments of righteousness. not instruments of wickedness. So you see what he wants to do, sanctifying, transforming you, changing you, spirit, soul, and body. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit fills you. All this stuff is going to begin to happen in your life, and you're going to grow and mature in your faith. You're going to be getting excited. You're going to be set on fire. And people are going to say, what's going on with you? What's burning in you? Broken before God. Lord, forgive me. Surrendered to God. Lord, fill me. Isn't it that simple? Now, somebody stand up and tell me it's not that simple if it isn't. But for me, it's that simple. Lord, forgive me. Lord, fill me. I need help. I need you. I'm making a mess. We can't do this without you. Living a spirit-filled life. It's not an option, by the way. That's the command, isn't it? Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That happens in a point in time. That happens as an event in our life. Walk by the Spirit. That's that step by step, moment by moment, 24/7, throughout the rest of our life. I pray the Lord would fill me. As we close our service, it's hymn number 399, by the way.